This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, a great tackle by Steve Tasker. Into the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
Well, what a day, huh? What a day this Wednesday has turned out to be. Good afternoon and welcome to One Bills Live. Welcome to One Bills Drive, new era field under construction, new field going in there. There's construction all around us here in our little One Buffalo studio as they finish off the construction of the training center next door and the outside of the training center. Good afternoon, everybody. John Murphy and Steve Tasker coming here from Orchard Park, New York. A little bit of sunshine today, no rain. That's a break. But Steve, this is an interesting day. I mean, it's not a red letter day. It's not a huge day. But with the Sabres move, which we'll talk about in a minute, and the Jets move, which we'll talk about in a minute, I'm kind of invigorated today. I feel like, whoa, that's a wake-up call. That's like getting slapped in the face a couple times.
Right.
Oh, wake up.
We come in and start having conversations about how we want the show to go. You know, we got guests coming on. Harrison Phillips is coming on. We got Frank Reich coming on. All of a sudden, it happens fairly regularly. Like in the last 15 minutes before the show comes on, right around before, just before noon, stuff starts happening. Yeah. Of course, the instigators get Ralph Krueger on, the new head coach of the Sabres, on, which is cool, and I'm really stoked about that hire. And then, right before we come on the air, the Jets fire Mike Maccagnan, their GM. And this one from the guy, we've had him on the show, Manish Mehta, tweeted out, listen, Jets CEO Christopher Johnson flat out told people in the building that Mike Maccagnan was safe. And then he says, he evidently was being disingenuous. And now, of course, Adam Gase is now the GM.
Last week, you were not here. Last week on looking. When do we have Rich Cimini on? Last week. Oh, wait a minute. I'm looking at 2 weeks ago. Last week, we had Rich Cimini on, who covers the Jets for ESPN NFL Nation. And it was Tuesday last week, I believe. No, it was Monday. Monday, May 6th. Sorry about that. Rich Cimini on the show. Chris Brown asked him, what about reports of a rift between Mike Maccagnan, the GM, and the head coach, Adam Gase? Rich Cimini buried that. No, that's overblown. If there was something, it's over now. Nothing to it. Don't look here. And boom, today, a statement from Jets chairman and CEO Christopher Johnson coming out in the last half hour or so. And here it is. He says, this morning I informed Mike Maccagnan that he was being relieved of his duties as general manager, effective immediately. I came to the decision to make a change after much thought and a careful assessment of what would be in the best long-term interest of the Jets. I will start a search for our new general manager immediately. In the interim, Coach Gase will be the acting GM. Blah, blah, blah. I'd like to thank Mike. Wish him the best and his wife, Betty. That's from Christopher Johnson, the Jets president. But that's amazing, right? The Jets. Mike Maccagnan hired the new head coach. You would think he had a lot to do with bringing Adam Gase up there. They let him run the draft, you would think, right, along with Adam Gase. And he's gone. We don't know much about it. We're going to get more on it tomorrow. All the Jets reporters that we deal with are busy today, as you might imagine. But it is a shocking turn of events. Steve thinks it's funny. Well, and I guess it is. Look, they're the Bills. We know how the AFC sets up, right? Patriots on top. Bills and Jets, you would think, this year contend for the right to be second and maybe challenge the Patriots a little bit. And the Jets keep stubbing their foot. It's kind of fun to watch that happen.
Well, and Jets reporters and beat writers and all of those people that cover the Jets, and even our good friend that I just quoted, Manish Mehta, we've had him on the show. They come on. The Jets have always, over this last 8, 10, 12, 16 months, have set themselves markedly ahead of where the Buffalo franchise is. They have thought, listen, the Bills.
You believe that?
They have really put themselves, they have always stated that they feel like the Jets are the better franchise now. All the guys, all the reporters from New York who have been talking about that team, the Jets team, they think, well, because they think Josh Allen's an inaccurate quarterback, basically.
Yeah.
It's been that. And now you've got the same guys coming out saying they're a dumpster fire. They're a joke. I mean, what is going on over there? This came out of nowhere. There was a little bit, like you said, there was a few rumors about maybe Adam Gase and Maccagnan had a disagreement that somebody overheard, and it was about, you know, whatever. It's not a big deal. And even Adam Gase said, listen, those reports kind of make me mad. They're idiots.
Yeah.
The guy's gone.
That was 2 days ago Adam Gase said that, right?
Yeah.
He was mad about the reports that he had
friction
with. That's crazy.
And now, here's the best case scenario for Bills watchers, for Bills fans, is that Adam Gase was the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. He got in there. They had a nice first year, got to 10-6, went to the playoffs, and then they took a big step back. Both years, they started backing away from that in the subsequent 2 years after Gase took over, and they never got better. Meaning it was mostly because some people thought maybe Adam Gase had a little too much on his plate as head coach. He wasn't handling all the balls that you have to juggle in the air as a head coach. So he goes to the Jets. Ostensibly because he's a quarterback whisperer. He's going to help Sam Darnold get better and all that. Well, he's still got all those things to juggle as the Jet head coach, and now they put the GM job on his plate.
On an interim basis, yeah.
That's a disaster.
Well, look, as Chris Johnson said of the Jets, they're looking for a new GM. Really, what does a general manager have to do in the next few months? What do you think Brandon Bean's preoccupied with right now?
He'll have training camp, roster, making sure they've got the bottom of the
coaches.
Roster. Taking his cue from where the coaches are coming from. Listen, if they've got five guys, if they go down in their 88-man or 90-man roster and they get down to – they got a bunch of guys that are good, and then they get down to like the – they get down to 48 guys that they really like. They say, listen, we need another six guys here to spread in here with the 48. These other guys are not good, so start churning the roster a little bit. That's about it.
For a GM.
Yeah. That's what the GM does. He just listens to the coaching staff and says, hey, we need another defensive end. Go find one.
Who's out there?
That's it.
Yeah. It's just it's a very interesting move. And we laugh a little bit because, look, I think the Jets have been a tire fire for a couple of years now, quite honestly. And I still can't believe the Bills lost to them last year here in Orchard Park. And if nothing else, they got to get two wins from the Jets this year. And they got to do more than that, obviously. But you got to sweep the Jets this year, right? The Bills, for their sake, have to establish themselves as the next team in the division, not the Jets. And look, a couple of rookie quarterbacks, I get it. Some people prefer Darnold over Josh Allen. I understand that. I don't, but I understand why you might. The Jets,
they're both good.
Jets. We talked about this last week on the show. You weren't here. Who had the best offseason? And the Jets finished way behind the Bills in our poll. I thought our poll was a little bit faulty thanks to so many Bills fans responding. But Jets had a very good offseason, Steve. They really did with the free agent acquisitions they made, with the draft they had, Quinnen Williams, Le'Veon Bell. They made some big moves. They would seem to be in position to challenge with the Bills to the supremacy of the division champion New England Patriots, but this kind of thing makes you think they're still in flux, right? It's indicative of a team that is not settled, right? I think.
Oh yeah,
don't you?
I think it does throw a wrench into maybe not so much the current roster, obviously, because they've had the draft, they've got their the core of their team set in place with free agency and stuff behind what Maccagnan has done. There's a couple of scenarios. The one I just gave you about, hey, the best case for the Bills is that now Adam Gase has got way more on his plate than he can handle, like in Miami. The other fact of the matter is it could be the reverse of that. Adam Gase didn't have the control he needed in Miami to do the things he wanted to do. And now that he does in New York, they could become a team that Adam Gase has always envisioned his team to be, and they become a better team for it in the future. I don't think he's going to make those wholesale changes now at this point. He's not going to change out the core players he's got. But going forward, he could mold the team into what he sees it to being as being, which is something he doesn't – you can't think he thought that in Miami. That team disintegrated. They gutted the roster out from under him in Miami. Maybe he wants to make sure that doesn't happen in New York. And maybe the Jet team gets better year after year rather than worse like they did in Miami. But I think – there's no doubt this was not part of the plan.
No.
When they hired Gase.
Here's what I don't get. And you've met Adam Gase. You've been in CBS production meetings with him. I've never met him. How does Adam Gase get this kind of juice? How does he get this kind of authority? I believe he's only going to be interim GM. I get it. But how do they choose Gase over Maccagnan? Maccagnan's been there for 3 or 4 years now. What is it about Adam Gase that would let a team put all their marbles in his basket. I don't understand that. What did he do in Miami to indicate that he deserved that? What did he do in Miami to indicate that the Jets had to have him? Can you shed any light on that for us? You've met him. You've talked to him.
Here's the thing I've always thought about Adam Gase. First of all, I like him. He is an energetic guy, and he really connect, in my opinion, really connects with young players, millennials, kids coming right out of college. He has that young college kid kind of energy. You can see when he's not at his introductory press conference, he is always in jeans and a hoodie and his hat's on backwards.
Big deal. What does that mean?
That's just the kind of guy he is. He's a very casual, approachable guy for the players. The players will have no problem coming up and saying, hey, coach, what about this?
I'm pretty casual. I'm pretty approachable. I have no business thinking I could coach an NFL team. You know what I mean?
No,
that only goes so far.
Oh, I know.
He's casual. He's approachable.
Well, I'm taking it for granted, and I know this too. He knows what he's doing with X's and O's. He's got guys in his corner. Like you, it's well publicized. Peyton Manning thought the world of the guy. Likes the guy a lot as a quarterback guy, as an offensive mind. So he's got credentials behind him.
At least offensively,
he's got some credentials behind him. He knows what he's doing. And I've spoken with him in production meetings. When you get him talking about the X's and O's, about what he's thinking about playing, how he's thinking about playing the game, how he thinks it's going. And I've spoken, last year I did a couple of interviews with him at halftime. And he came out and he says, he started talking real specific. He goes, they're giving me so much, you know, of this, I want to do this. And they got me on one thing. So he's always thinking. He's very, very current on how the NFL is, how its offense is run, and all that. That is it. But one of the things, and like I said, in addition to that, I think his players really connect with him. They get him. The thing on the other side of that, he doesn't come across as the adult in the room.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He does not come across as a guy who says, "Hey guys, whoa, you know, you're not doing your." He doesn't seem like a guy who says no to his kids when they need to be told no, right?
Yeah.
That's the other side of that coin. Maybe that's why it flew so well his first year in Miami, because there's maybe some carryover. Maybe there was some, you know, some guys. And then as they said, we don't have to do certain things now. We can just get away with stuff. Maybe some of that was happening in Miami. And certainly you can make that case that something was going on there because it did go backwards on him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think on the positive side of it, he's a young, energetic guy who players respond to. On the other side of it,
23
wins. He's not the adult in the room.
3 years in Miami, 23 wins, 25 losses, 6-10 2 years ago, 7-9 last year. I just don't know what, 10 wins the first year, okay. In the playoff berth, okay. I just don't know what Adam Gase has done to let people place so much trust in him and give him so much authority at the New York Jets. And now, you know, they choose him instead of the general manager. To me, that's maybe the most puzzling part of what the Jets have done here today.
We may never know what the dynamics are about what happened in New York, about why they made this change all of a sudden from Mike Maccagnan letting him go and putting Adam Gase as interim GM. And I don't even know if they're going to leave him. You know, how long is that going to last? And who's going to be a candidate for their GM job? Who wants their GM job? What's it going to mean? You know what I mean? What's it going to mean? Most, and you'll talk to other guys, most of the GMs in the league have final say on the 53. That's their job. They go out and get players. They have the final say of who's going to be on the roster. Now, obviously, when it's a perfect scenario, the head coach is the guy who tells the GM, say, I need a guy like this, a guy like that, and a guy like that. And the GM says, how about this guy, and this guy? And the coach says, okay, yeah, that'd be great. Get him. And that's the way it works. The GM doesn't just go out and grab guys. He is in full lockstep with his head coach, and his head coach is in the room with those players, on the practice field with those players, knows their personalities, knows what they need, what they lack, and how to fix that. And that's where the GM gets most of his information. That's how it works. When that's not so good, you have situations like this, I guess, where the GM hires the guy, and after a couple of months on the job, they're going in different directions. It's amazing. I mean,
it is.
It really is amazing because you go around this. This doesn't happen that often.
Well, you could argue the similar thing happened here in Buffalo, right? The Bills a couple of years ago brought in Sean McDermott and got through the draft. And then the day after the draft, not a couple of weeks after the draft, the day after the draft, they fired Doug Whaley and brought in Brandon Bean a month or two later.
And it's interesting, though. You could see that coming down the pipe with contracts and all of that, with the extensions and stuff with the GM. And plus, I don't – we never got the idea, particularly with the way the draft went with Sean McDermott and Doug Whaley in the room. Even after it happened, there was no rift between those two.
Right.
But Whaley was no doubt was the GM before the Pagulas took over. It was not their guy. So that was a little bit different.
A little bit. So, yeah, McKagan's fired. Coach Adam Gase will be interim GM. The Jets also fired Vice President of Player Personnel Brian Heimerdinger. And here's ESPN's report most recently. The shakeup comes amid reports of internal discord in the Jets organization. ESPN reported during the draft that friction had developed between McKagan and Adam Gase because of disagreements over personnel during free agency. And here's the important part, or maybe the most interesting part. Both men denied that a rift had developed in their relationship. Gase just a couple of days ago. Sources said Christopher Johnson, the Jets CEO, was so concerned that he began spending time in the building, spending more time at the Jets facility to monitor the relationship between his coach and general manager. That can't be good. But there he goes. Mike McKagan is gone as the Jets GM. We'll talk about that a lot today. Going to talk about this a little today. The Buffalo Sabres have a new head coach. It took a while, but the Sabres hired Ralph Krueger as their next head coach. If you're listening to the Instigators right at the top of the hour, you heard them interviewing Ralph Krueger from Europe. 59 years old, coached the Edmonton Oilers during the lockout-shortened season in 2012-2013. A lot of coaching experience. He was Switzerland's national coach to the Olympic Winter Games for three different Olympics. I find this interesting about Ralph Krueger. Returns to the NHL after spending the last 5 years as chairman of soccer's Southampton Football Club of the English Premier League. Native of Winnipeg, played hockey professionally in Germany. Ralph Krueger takes over the Buffalo Sabres with their 8-year playoff drought. Ralph Krueger is going to try to end that. Head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Mr. Sabres season ticket holder. I like what we're, you know, a little transition between shows. We asked the Instigators specifically what they thought off the air, and he got really, really high grades from Craig Revey, which I think is significant.
Yeah, I always get I get a lot of my hockey opinions from the Rivs.
Yeah.
Because he said something I've always thought about too, and we're up against a break, so I'll be quick. It's been my philosophy, and I've shared it with you a ton on this show. You hire the smartest people you can find, and then you support them until they figure it out, because they will.
Yeah.
And that's what the Sabres have done with this Ralph Krueger. He is, a lot of times, maybe one of the smartest guys you'll ever come across. Articulate, very good communicator, has the ability to see what's needed in any situation. That's why he was hired at the upper echelons. He wasn't like some guy in the equipment room in the soccer team. He was the top guy of the entire franchise, and he got it going in a big way. He ran the entire operation. He rebuilt it. So that takes a lot of mental acuity, and I think that's what you look for. You look for a leader who's really, really smart, and then you support him until he figures it out. I'm really excited to see him get started.
Sabres have sort of gone off the charts to find him and hire him, but I think I like this hire, you know, because of what you say, because of the smarts that Ralph Krueger appears to be accomplished in hockey, obviously, but also off the ice, right? A successful businessman running the soccer team. It's big business over there at Southampton in the English League, and this is going to be an interesting hire. I salute the Sabres for, you know, going outside the box to find this guy and bring him in.
It shows a really, really smart thought process to find the guy.
Yeah, and keep it quiet too, right? This guy's name was not out there.
I'm really impressed. Yeah. I really am. You got to be. It's going to be fun to watch this develop over the next few months.
Hope you're impressed with the show lineup we have today here, Steve. Harrison Phillips, Horrible Harry's going to join us. The Bills are in they're wrapping up today's version of the voluntary off-season conditioning program. It's a very, very important day. It is the annual dodgeball contest among the roster. Steve and I, right outside our office, kept an eye on that for a couple of minutes today. That is, I'm telling you what, I'd buy tickets to watch these world-class athletes play dodgeball. It was really fun and really competitive.
It is a fireball out there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And it's still going on. Harrison Phillips, when that is over, will join us in here. We'll talk a little bit about the off-season conditioning with him, and we'll talk about his buddy Pancho Villa, who passed away yesterday. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Frank Reich, head coach, Indianapolis Colts, coming to town this weekend for the annual Call to Courage breakfast. And Chris Brown will catch up with Brownie. True story. Jay Harris and I, you saw him there at the meeting this morning. Chris shows up with a One Bills Live shirt on. We said, well, you got to come on the show now. You got the uniform.
Yeah, right.
So here he is, 2 o'clock.
He rolled his eyes and goes, oh.
All right. Brownie's going to join us at 2. Steve and I coming back. We're just getting started here. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're back with One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker from our One Buffalo studio. All right, so we got a good show today, and a lot of things to talk about. Frank Reich's going to join us at 1 o'clock. Chris Brown's going to join us at 2. Reich, obviously, the former Bills quarterback, coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Harrison Phillips going to join us, Bills defensive lineman, who's we think he's going to join us. It went late today, and we're going to have to find out who won the dodgeball. It looked pretty competitive. Maybe Harrison's celebrating a big dodgeball championship. The news of the day, obviously, there's Sabres news with the hiring of head coach Ralph Krueger, but the Jets fired their general manager, and you've been following your boy Manish Mehta, who's got, a little more information about what went wrong there?
And there was a reported rift between Adam Gase and Mike Maccagni. Adam Gase, the head coach, and Mike Maccagni, the GM, and it became clear that Gase did not want to sign Le'Veon Bell. He made it clear he didn't want to spend a lot of money on any running back, and of course they did. They went out and spent a ton of money on Le'Veon Bell, and as a football guy, in whatever capacity I am, I agree with him. Running backs are not something you blow your budget on. And it goes on and on. And Manish Mehta goes, he says, this is quoting Manish Mehta from Twitter. He says, I've been fair to the Jets during this rebuild, but there's no sugarcoating their decision to fire Mike Maccagni today. They have morphed into the circus/clown show that so many people have painted them as forever. A complete and utter joke of a franchise. And that Manish Mehta is the biggest Jet apologist of all time. Mm. And he has jumped off their bandwagon this morning with the firing of Mike Maccagni.
Maybe
that is
we
amazing.
Need Manish on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
He's venting his spleen. Probably wait until tomorrow to get Manish on the show.
Yeah, you might want to give him a day.
Yeah. We just look, I hate the Jets worse than I hate the Patriots. And I think this is a positive development for the Bills, that kind of turmoil, right? It matters if you've got a – when you go into a season and things are – and I know we're 4 months away from a season here, but it matters when a team has that kind of shakeup, right? That kind of turmoil, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. I don't – listen, there's a difference between – and you know this, Murph, because you and I go through it every morning. We have healthy disagreements that are good for the show. And that would be good for the team. You got to have. You can't have everybody in the room thinking the same thing, because then if everybody's thinking the same way, nobody's thinking.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody that says, wait a minute, because what about this? And look at this, you know, have some different ideas. If everybody in the room thinks the same way, you're missing a lot. And so there's such a thing as a healthy disagreement, but this goes beyond that, I guess, you know?
Yeah, this got unhealthy.
Right? It got unhealthy.
Today. So the Jets fired their GM, and it got us thinking about stability, how much of a factor that is. Right now in the division, right, Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, the Bills and the Patriots are the most stable setups in the AFC East, right? It takes us right to our Twitter poll today and right to our topic of the day, one that we really hope you get involved with and phone us up or vote on Twitter or even send in a tweet. On Twitter, our Twitter poll, what has been Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean's greatest accomplishment this offseason? He's been here now going into his, second season as the GM? Am I right? Yeah. Second full season. So he's been here for a couple of years. What's been Brandon Bean's greatest accomplishment this offseason? He's done a lot. Bills have been active this offseason, getting lots of credit around the league for what they've done. You can call us up, let us know what you think. Lines open right now. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-552-550. You can vote in our Twitter poll at One Bills Live. You can send in a tweet. We may read it on the air. Biggest accomplishment of Brandon Bean's offseason this year. On Twitter, on the Twitter poll, with more than 500 votes in already, it's kind of a one-sided vote. 76% of you say overhauling the offensive line has been the biggest accomplishment this offseason. 16% of you say getting the top two picks at Oliver and Cody Ford has been the biggest accomplishment this offseason. 5% say adding talent to the wide receiver group. 4% have something else in mind. You know, as I look at that Twitter poll, nothing against Cody Ford, but the drafting of Oliver, and who was it yesterday on the show, Ross Tucker, who mentioned what a coup that was to get Oliver down there at 9 when many people thought he was a top three player. Mm-hmm. Drafting of Oliver, I think, stands on its own without putting Cody Ford in there. Cody Ford was a projected first/second rounder, and the Bills got him in the second round, so that's good.
Right.
But drafting Ed Oliver, I think, is a big accomplishment. Kind of being patient enough, reading the draft board good enough to kind of have a feeling what other people were going to do. Not that he knew the Giants were going to surprise everybody and take a quarterback up there at 6. Not that he knew that the Raiders took Cleveland Farrell, right? Did they?
Right.
So he didn't know that was going to happen, but he bided his time, waited till 9, and got Ed Oliver. I think that was a big accomplishment. Overall, in the offensive line, 76% say that's been his biggest accomplishment. I get that. I understand that. I would probably vote with that as the biggest accomplishment. What about you, Mr. Tasker?
I'd say that's the most important thing they've done. But I think the offensive line was the biggest need heading out of last year. Certainly, Ed Oliver is an important player, no question. But for me, it's about the offensive line that they fixed, because certainly Kyle Williams' departure hurts the Buffalo Bills' defense. It hurts their leadership, and it hurts that core group of guys, and it hurts that vibe in the locker room. But I think one player, aside from maybe losing a franchise quarterback in his prime or something like that, you can kind of make do with the guys that are left. Even if Ed Oliver didn't fall to the Bills and they get a different guy, he would be, even if he wasn't Ed Oliver good, he'd be okay, and it wouldn't be a hole left there. The offensive line absolutely, positively was priority one this offseason. And they spent a lot of effort. And who knows if they've got it fixed even now,
I'm just
right?
Just going to ask you. You said he's fixed the offensive line. Is it fixed? Are you sure
right.
it's fixed?
That's a good point. There's no way to know it's actually happened, but I think – with the amount of resources they put, the guys that they brought in, at least the pedigrees of most of the guys they've brought in, including the draft pick, the guys that have seen him on film, you would think there's no doubt that it's going to be better. Now, whether it's going to be great or just good or okay or mediocre or above average, however you want to say it or however it shakes out, that was the most important thing, much more so than any other single player outside the quarterback position. So I would say probably offensive line for me this last offseason. Plus, it was one of the reasons they were put in that position is because they got their financial house in order.
And that's the other thing I was going to say. And it falls between the cracks. It didn't just happen this past offseason. But getting the Bills cap situation in order, maybe that was the job of the first, season and a half of Brandon Bean's
18 months,
here.
Yeah.
So somehow it should be included in this year. I think that might be the number one accomplishment over his whole two-year tenure so far, getting the cap in order. The Bills can deal with the salary cap. They have money to spend, obviously, on their draft picks, but they have money to spend if they want on further free agents this year and next year. That, to me, would be the number one accomplishment of Brandon Bean's entire tenure. But what do you think? We got phone lines open, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And we got the lines in on the Twitter poll. What do you got there, Steve? Biggest accomplishment of Brandon Bean this offseason.
From Tiffany, adding two young, talented pieces to both lines and the way Bean worked the draft was impressive. Staying at 9 and getting Oliver without having to trade up to do it was quite savvy. And the move for Ford, the guy they coveted, could be the steal of the draft. It was patient and methodical. That was from Tiffany. And from John, he says, honestly, I like all the moves that he has made, but overhauling the O-line has to be the best because you're only going to be as good as your worst player up there. And I feel our worst player got a lot better with the offensive line additions. Well, their offensive – it's like the five guys are only as good as the worst of the five guys. And he thinks all five of them got a little better. The worst guy on this line now is much better than the worst guy or the best guy last year or worst guy last year, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And one more from the tweet sheet from Gus. I think everything he's done is an accomplishment for a team that needed everything. he did pretty good without breaking the bank. Agreed. One thing about Brandon Bean, Steve, I want to ask you this about perception of Brandon Bean among the fans before we go to break here. Remember when Antonio Brown was not traded to the Bills, the best way to put it, and Brandon Bean went to the podium and talked about how mad he was about the perception of Buffalo. I think in the perception arena, he endeared himself with Bills fans. I mean, for people to say, I love everything he's done. I don't know if they would have said that had Brandon not gone to the podium and spoke so passionately and so convincingly about how strongly he felt about this team, this town, and how mad he was about people dissing Buffalo, because there was a torrent of that when the Antonio Brown deal didn't go through. I think Brandon endeared himself to the fan base, and he reaps the benefit of that in polls like this, which is fine,
by the way. Yeah, every franchise has a special relationship with their fans and their city that they live in. And one of the things that is required in Buffalo is the perception that you want to be here.
Yeah.
We take that seriously. We don't want guys who don't like Buffalo. We don't want guys who don't want to live here. We don't want, whether you're Marshawn Lynch and all of those, who, and those of that ilk, Willis McGahee, the left tackle from Philadelphia. Jason Peters. All these guys, the great players, they didn't want to be in Buffalo. And you know what? We're pretty happy to kick those guys to the curb.
Yeah.
That's part of the deal here.
Yep.
If you're going to play or coach or be an executive or a public executive in one of these sports teams, you better like this town.
Yeah.
We hold it against them. We hold it against them. And I think there's no question Brandon Bean gets that. Sean McDermott gets that. And I think their affection for this town and this region is genuine. No, don't get me wrong. I think it's genuine. But that has to be in the job description for these guys.
Steve and I coming back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back to the show. I got the cue. I'm all right. I'm busy out here.
Just laying out.
Welcome back to the show. A couple of minutes here. We got Frank Reich calling in at 1 o'clock, so we won't have long here. But we're talking about the Jets move and about the Bills GM. What do you think the best move that Bills GM Brandon Bean has made in this offseason? A couple of calls on this topic. Greg calling from Georgia. Hello, Greg. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
I hope the weather is as nice in Buffalo right now as it is down here, but I won't rub it in.
Hope all you want to.
You can take your hope. And no, go ahead. I'm sorry, Greg.
Go ahead, Greg.
But I was just going to say, you know, in general, I think the overriding theme of his success really was his patience. He never jumped the gun. He had a plan. And, you know, there were lots of temptations along the way, but he never really you know, he didn't sell the farm to buy a cow. He just stayed the course, and it ended up working out great.
Yeah, I think the fact that they could stay disciplined in the heat of the moment in the draft room, when you see all the tension and you see there's 32 rooms exactly like yours, they're all trying to get an edge on all the others, and in the lead up to it, in the preparation for it, and to have the discipline to say no to yourself, say, no, I'm not going to do that, even though I probably could get it done if I wanted. You're right. I think the patience and the discipline and the fact that they have this plan and they are adhering to it is really, really impressive. And I think you're right. That is one of the important components of what they've been able to accomplish. If they've accomplished anything except the fact that to get all of our approval for everything they've done without having any wins yet. You know what I'm saying?
The only thing missing.
Right, that's really the only thing missing. It really is. And I don't know that.
And that's a big thing.
It's the thing.
Yeah.
But that's what this is all leading to. And one of the things, too, and we're going to have Frank Reich on at the top of the hour, is that, and I've heard him preach it, I've heard great coaches preach it everywhere, just keep doing the right things the right way for the right reasons and getting the right people in the building and working the right way and improving your process. The winning will result. That's the thing. Don't worry about winning. Just do things the right way. It's an old John Wooden. Just play your best and always get better, and winning will be the result. Let's just do our thing, and the winning will be the result. And that has been the mantra in this building since Sean McDermott showed up, and they have not wavered from that. So now, for the next, 3 months? How far away are we? 100 days?
To what?
To the opening day.
4 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, just we got to sit and wait.
Yeah.
Now we have to be patient and disciplined.
Yeah. Thanks for your call, Greg. Let's go to Gary on a cell phone. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I think the key to the success of the team is based on keeping McDermott as the coach for third straight year. I don't remember the last time we've had a coach for 3 years straight, and I think their philosophies mesh together. And I'll just say one of the things that the observation from the Le'Veon Bell and Adam Gase situation is that they haven't even snapped the football yet, and they're going to be at odds with each other because of the the way that Gase and the general manager for the Jets did not see eye to eye. So I think that's important, and it's great to see that for the third straight year we're going to have the same coach and the same philosophy.
Yeah, I hear you. Chan Gailey was here for three straight years, and his last year was 2012. So, yeah, you can't keep, obviously, circulating through coaches. I don't know. I will say this in all honesty. I don't know if coach hiring, firing is within the purview of what Brandon Bean does. Certainly is a strong voice in the football department, among the strongest. But I don't know if Brandon Bean could unilaterally, Steve, say, I want a new coach. I don't think he can.
Right.
What do you think?
Yeah, he's not going to. Right. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
We got a new coach coming up at 1 o'clock. Frank Reich's going to join us, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, coming to town this weekend for his Call to Courage breakfast. We'll be back with Frank when we return. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.